Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. If you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca, and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in.
Welcome back to the Missionary Disciple Podcast. Today we're talking about phases, or even more particularly focused in on activation. And we're really excited to have with us today Michelle, formerly Acoin, but
Now Gallagher.
And of course, Angel, my wife. And my name's Andre. So so today we're going to talk about these phases in a very focused way on activation. Someone take it from here.
Okay, I'll take it from here. Well, just to say what the phases are. The phases are these different elements of our campus outreach. So we have a progression of phases that we're walking through, and we're going to talk today specifically about activation. And Michelle's just going to fly us through those that whole circuit of phases that
That's
we have
why she's here, because we actually don't know the phases.
No, because actually CCO has actually improved the teaching. Okay. So when I taught it, we had like 3 or 4.
Okay.
But they've improved. And I'm all cool about improvement. So you tell us the new articulation.
We're going to sit here at your feet and we're going to learn from you.
Teach us the things.
Sure. So there's 5 phases. The first one's preparation. The second one is actually activation and outreach together. Third, concentration. Fourth, integration. And fifth being celebration and continuation.
You know, back in the day when I was doing it, there was only one phase. Get out there and do it. But it's changed.
Who's Jesus?
It's the phase.
Who's first, you know? But, oh, wow. Okay.
No, we actually had phases, but.
We did?
Okay. Yeah, you're just giving her. I just let you go.
It's what Jesus did. He didn't have phases. He was Emmanuel, God with it.
It's called the Master Plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit more about activation?
Sure. So this phase, activation and outreach, really is that phase where you're just starting, like you're activating your leaders, you're activating the people who are gonna go out and share Jesus on.
Okay.
And then
my kind of people.
Exactly. And then the outreach, actually going out and finding new people for the message of the gospel. So activating our leaders and then outreaching to the lost, to the people who don't know him.
We have a little handout, I mean, kind of a teaching on it, and I see 3 kind of points to it, and, you know, it'd be really good to kind of hit on each one of those points, but I'm just going to go through them very quickly. But it's activation, which is engaging, like you said, returning students, but part of this activation is sowing broadly, or is that different? Anyway, I'm sure you'll talk about it. But the next one is actually stewarding those contacts that you have. You know, I was really fascinated by those 3 points. It just brought it all into perspective of why this is really important. So
the document Andre's referencing, for those of you that are watching, is one of our teachings that I'm sure you'll have a link, a PDF to, so you can follow along and get more in-depth stuff in there. But we're just going to hit on those 3 basic points. So let's talk about, first of all, that engaging the returning students. And Andre and I did a podcast a while back that talked about, you know, trying to woo people back and remind them of the need for them and their particular charisms and seeing where they're at and making sure that we're loving our leaders. But let's just talk about, like, assuming that we've kind of done that and we've built some bridges with them. We want to engage our returning students. How do you get all these students to be this force of witnessing on campus, that they would desire to do it, that they'd be into it, that they would donate so much time, and that they're doing it without feeling used? They're not annoyed. They're not, like, why are they so willing to give so much time? How do you do that?
Yeah. Okay. First, I actually think it's so important that this is even the first part before on campus context to go, like, the first day and go out on campus and to outreach, because we're like, you can go onto campus, but then you can't just say, hey, everybody else just come on and go onto campus. Like, there isn't going to be, yeah, like, buy-in from people. They aren't going to just want to go and do this thing for a club, right?
Mm-hmm. Or they're watching you go, and they're like, okay, they're really crazy. I'll just fade away.
Yeah. So before any of that starts, before you just kind of go out onto campus, who's first? Like, being able to be with your leaders, with your core team, with the people who also are ready and willing to just go out and reach more people for the message of the gospel. Like, so for us on campus, it's even looked like we just have a leaders night, like, okay. Even just bringing all 12 of our leaders into one room, into my living room.
So is that in itself like a motivating thing? Like, mm-hmm. I'm a leader. Like, yeah. Do people feel seen and,
yeah,
I don't know, something very beautiful about that?
Yeah, being like, being a part of like the team.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So being able to gather, being able to come together. Okay, maybe, you know, it's been all summer, it's been Christmas break, but now we're all together again. And why are we together? What do we do together? Mm-hmm. You know, are we just, who are we? Like, what's our role together? And so really the biggest thing and of this time when you're actually together with our students is being able to like cast the vision, like what is about to happen. Because are we just going and tabling for the biology club? Like, no.
Yeah, I have a problem with the biology club also. Yeah.
That was my degree, so. but no, the like, why would I want to spend time doing that? It's the first week back of school. I could be doing anything. I could be moving in. I could be going to see all my friends I haven't seen. I could be like buying all my textbooks. Like, they could be doing all these things, but why would they spend time going and being at a table, right? So this is actually where we're able to show the students, like, okay, actually, here's the greater vision of what, okay, yes, of what this is. Like, what's something that we all care about? We all care that people know Jesus. That's our missionary heart. That is where we all, that's what our prayer times are about. Mm-hmm. That's what we live for, is for people to know Jesus. We want the renewal of the world. Mm-hmm. That's CCO's mission. That's just part of each of their hearts, right? But, okay, how does this, all the way at the beginning, like, lead to that? And so even if we're writing it out, like, okay, all the way from the beginning, like the survey, which is how we reach out to people at a table, is just get people to fill out 5-question survey. Okay, like, but why? The whole point of doing the survey is so that we can have a conversation. We can start a conversation with a student that we never otherwise would have met, who is just in the university, just walking by. We don't know who we're going to meet, right? Exactly. But we get that person at the survey. Why? Because we want their contact information. We want their number. We want to be able to call them that night or the next day to say, hey, do you have 20 minutes to be able to go to Starbucks, you know, and on campus, and I can just tell you more about what we do. Because in that, in being able to meet with them, we get to share about Jesus. We get to talk about, okay, well, what's actually the best tool that we have to be able for them to actually come to a place of being able to put Christ at the center of their life is discovery, you know? So being able to go from survey to phone call to the follow-up meeting to discovery, and then people knowing Jesus, like, that's what it's all about, right? That's what we care about. That's what it is. And then even further than that, it's like, okay, now people know Jesus, but actually, okay, what's the next step? Like, we want more leaders for the renewal of the world, right? And we want more people who can be in this room. That was significant for us. Like, okay, who are we going to reach in the hallway who's actually going to be the next person in the room? Mm-hmm. And when people have that, like, mentality or vision or just lens to be able to see what's actually happening, that's when people are willing to do whatever it takes to be.
So that's what you do with your students. You tell them what you just told us.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's happening in their eyes while you're saying these things?
Mm-hmm. Like, it gives them perspective. It gives, like, wow, okay, yeah, I want that. And so if this is what that can lead up to, I want to do that because I want to find somebody who's going to be in the room. Like, I want to build up the next multiplying missionary. Like, I want to do that. And so how am I going to find that is going to be doing just this. So,
you know what I'm hearing? Okay, basically, you're casting vision. You're telling these young people, what the significance of that week, the time we're going to activate. But what I'm hearing, and people, you go to conferences all the time about evangelization, and everyone's kind of go out, do this, and everyone in the crowd is motivated, and they desire, and Father says, hey, we want the church to grow, we want our children to come back, and everyone's saying amen to that, okay? Right. And so when you're motivating your people, what stands out for me is that you're not just, getting people excited about renewal of the world. You're actually, in a very intentional, concrete, step-by-step, here is how it's going to happen. I had a conversation because last year we had a podcast. It was one of our very first video podcast kind of thing. And it was at Ottawa U. And in the background, you saw all the students. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to the students about their reaching out and, this activation stage. Right. And so we went through how it happens, okay? Not in such a kind of concrete way, but, and someone commented to me, they said, that is gold. Because we, in a parish or, any other ministry trying to get something going, we want to do it, but we actually don't know how to go about getting those people that are just wandering the hallways or wandering our parish or wandering the neighborhood. So really, in a very concrete way, we're not just talking about getting excited. All you students that are going to be engaging in mission, this is very, very intentional, very systematic, and it's proven over the last 30 years that it works. That survey leads to conversion, and that conversion leads to a missionary disciple being formed. Like, we're not just saying, theoretically this could work. It actually works. Yeah. Would you say that is why it's, those young people are going, yeah, this is actually working or it can work?
Absolutely. Even being in the room with our 12 leaders this past week, when I'm sharing this, do you guys believe that this works? I said, how many of you guys started by having a survey given to you in the hallway? And all the hands go up. One girl, our president of our club on campus, like of the movement on campus, it said, like, I remember taking that survey in the hallway. And I remember saying to the person when they asked me, do you have any kind of like faith background at all? Did you, And they go, yeah, I went to a Catholic high school, but I'm an atheist now. Mm. And now she's sitting in the room.
She's present.
Yeah. So it works.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think it works? That's a big question.
That's a big question.
Yeah. I think it works because it is about the person, not about the program. It's really what I'm hearing you say. It's really contact with people. You're laying your life down as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, that in each phase you're actually, this isn't just, documents and programs, and this is you going out and meeting people and meeting the people where they're at and then really laying your life down for the person in a very concrete way. I think that's what's extraordinary about it.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, but I would say actually it's people and programs because leaders are attracted to resources.
Okay, yes.
Right? Yeah. So when you cast a vision, there's casting a vision that's just inspiration. Like, we want everybody to love Jesus. Yeah. I don't know how to start. But if you cast a vision and you're like, okay, here's how we're going to march it. We're going to do these surveys. It'll get us a contact. We're going to do a follow-up. We're going to da-da-da-da. And then we'll lead them to discovery. And then we're going to get them to adoration. Like, and then we're going to get them to confession. They're going to encounter the Lord. Like, just when you have a plan, people are like, okay, I can work that plan. Thanks for leading me with a resource and a guidance to be people first within bumper rails. Like, I know how to do this thing, and we're all doing this together. So there's a strength in the unity of approach that we can celebrate it instead of being like, oh, you're doing that way, you're doing that way. Who's better? Like, you can get into competition even. But we're doing a thing together, and we know where we're going and how we're going to do it. And then we can focus on the person, right? Because we know what we're up to.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go just one step further on this. Is okay, so you've casted the vision, and, you know, anybody can see that this is very concrete and very intentional, and it has almost like a step-by-step approach. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so anyone listening say, yeah, okay, I see how it fits. But tell me the advantage. Why should I go? Like, okay, I'm one of the 12, and by, you know, what would be the value for me to actually go? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you go, that's great. I'm glad you're, you know, entering into it, and, you know, I'm supporting you. But why should I go? Like, why should I be one of the 12 that stands behind that table and, you know, does surveys or activates on campus? Why should I be
What's
it?
The like, advantage?
Well, yeah, the advantage to me.
Wow. I think
that's a good question, huh?
Yeah, good question.
I have to get down to it, you know. It's like, because that's what we want our listeners. Mm-hmm. We want you to know that it's good for you. It's really good for you to be there. You could see where it's good for the atheist or the mm-hmm. person wondering, but it's also good for your faith. I mean, you know, I read in the little this little document, yes. That it would be sad, and really a missed opportunity if mm-hmm. our students, it would hurt the student, our leaders, if they mm-hmm. didn't come out. It's actually, you know, they'd miss a huge opportunity. So mm-hmm. tell me the reason why mm-hmm. they should come.
Yeah. I think a big lie or temptation that we can actually believe is that we don't need to be the one that goes, right? We don't need to be one of the 12 that goes out. Like, they can do it, or they're better at it, yeah. or whatever, but not me. Like, I don't need to do that. But for not only, like, for the souls that could be reached through you, right? Like, actually, that's why it matters. It matters for the others. It matters for the lost sheep. It matters for them. But, yeah, also, it's your own thing that you're going to be missing out on for yourself. Because, actually, to be able to engage in this kind of missionary activity is... it's huge. It plays a huge role in your own faith. It plays a huge role in your own relationship with God, where you're actually going out and you're giving everything. You're laying your life down, and to go out and just say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go fight for souls
for you. So the fact that you're just giving your time is already something... an action that is allowing you to enter into the mission of the church, of the life of Christ. It's like you are actually being, sharing in the way you're modeling your life after Jesus, who just went out.
Okay, I want to ask you guys more about that. Because what you've said so far has been a lot of energy. But if I just took the words and typed them out, it actually sounds hard. Lay down your life, imitate Jesus, give time. Thanks. Yeah. Okay, so what's actually happening in the heart of the student leaders that are engaging? Why would they want to give that much time and effort? Why do they want to? What happens inside?
Well, can I jump in? Because this is really the point we're trying to make here today is that, you know, John Paul II says it, and we see it, St. John Paul II said it, and we see it actually... you know, lived out, is faith is strengthened when it's passed on, meaning you're actually being called to stand up. And when you stand up for what you believe, you have to believe it in more.
No, but I thought it was that you had to have strong faith.
No.
And then you can go and witness.
No,
you're saying
the opposite. Okay, I see what you mean. We're using really extraordinary language. You have to sacrifice. Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Even if you don't.
No, I wanted you to say that. I actually wanted you to say, and I'm being a little facetious, but that's what we think. Like, I'm not strong enough. There's better people.
Yeah.
And if I was stronger, I could do what they're doing. But that is not what actually happens. Yeah. John Paul II says faith is strengthened when it is given to others. Yeah. So when our
he says pass on.
Sorry, what did he say?
Yeah, he doesn't say given to others. He said pass it on to others.
I'm sorry for misquoting the most holy Saint John Paul II. Yeah. But that's the principle that we find is that when our students step out, their hearts are set on fire. They enjoy it. They have a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. Like it enlivens them, but they wouldn't know that unless they did it. Right.
What's that book that we encourage people to read? It's about the guy that used to be a former
communist.
One fish,
two fish, three fish, blue fish.
No, the guy used to be a former communist and, you know.
So the book is Dedication and Leadership by Douglas Hyde. So it's a fascinating book that I learned as a student and that I've passed on to missionaries. But very interesting. Douglas Hyde was a communist and is a convert to Catholicism. So he was giving a conference to the leaders in the Catholic Church. And the discussion was how to inspire dedication and leadership in our own people. So what he's saying is like, okay, I'm a convert. I'm Catholic now. I get all the things that were wrong and disordered about communism. But they did something to inspire dedication and leadership in people. What were the things that they did? And is there any learning for us as Catholics to improve how we inspire dedication and leadership? And so one of those principles is actually engaging people right away in mission. So what the communists would do is as soon as you show any interest or join the party is they put you on the street corner with pamphlets to hand out. And right away you're doing a visible association with this group and it's scary. You don't have to say too much. You just have to hand it out. You're in a sense being a witness to your convictions about the Communist Party. We find the same thing happens in CCO because these students are just asking people to fill out a survey. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they don't even have to talk about the faith too much. If they want to, they can totally go there. But they can just stand there and do surveys or be smiley or hand the chips, right? But that whole experience of standing by that table and talking to people is making them do something internally in an external way. And it builds affinity. The communists found it. By making these people do this right away, it built their association and affinity for the Communist Party that they would be willing to stand up for it.
So your convictions actually...
Your convictions grow in that.
Yeah, in that experience.
Right? So if this is how the human person's psychology is created, this isn't the communists invented this. This is God's wiring of our persons. So
I feel this is a really important point. And working with students, there is a pushback on, okay, I don't have time or whatever the reasons for not being there. But I would believe that the students that we have actually want to grow in their faith, their love for Jesus and the church. And so it's the normal way to do that is just pray more, go to adoration, go to mass, and this really helps your faith. And it does. This is extremely important. But what you're suggesting is that there is your faith, you know, you're standing on it, your convictions, you have to stand on your convictions. Your convictions might be this much. Your relationship with God might be here, but standing out and associating with it and standing next to Jesus in a way and say, I'm with this guy, your faith, in my experience and the experience of students, is that the Holy Spirit stirs up and your own associating with it grows.
Right. So you don't just grow missionary skills or missionary fervor. Mm-hmm. Your faith grows. Life grows. So holiness and mission go together. And that's what we've seen over and over again, that the students that engage in mission, their holiness grows. As their holiness grows, they desire for mission, and the mission grows their holiness. So we do a disservice to our students to not include them in the good work that you guys could do. You're professionals at it. You can just do the stuff. You're really good at it. But you know what it does for their own hearts and what it does for the heart of the one that they're going to reach, because more hands means more people do get reached, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you seen on campus and in your own life that actually faith does grow when they stand there? Because, you know, again, we're trying to encourage you to really be part of this activation phase, going out and standing next to the table. Have you seen that happen where faith grows or mm-hmm. conviction grows or their holiness grows through it?
For sure. Yeah. How can it not? Like being at the table is such a good example of just a way that people leave it with, yeah, how can you not leave with a burning missionary heart, with just a greater heart for people in the same way that Jesus does, but also just knowing that, like, your heart has been united to Jesus's heart
for the lost,
for his people, exactly. Right? You're becoming more like him in a sense.
Would you say that the one reason they don't is because of time, and or is it, because they're too busy, or do you think it's because it's too difficult?
I would say neither.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But why aren't they? Like, why wouldn't a student? Why do you think they're not the ones that should be out mm-hmm. there? Why aren't they? Is it because it's too difficult of mm-hmm. a thing, you know, or is it too difficult? They're too busy, or it's too difficult?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say like too busy, because actually when people have the heart,
So you're saying it just seems too difficult of a sacrifice.
Those are the reasons students will give, okay? Mm-hmm. But what you were saying to me before we started the podcast is that it's actually lack of vision. Mm-hmm. So you had a story. You had a story of a student that was too busy, was doing a lot of things, and then when she received mm-hmm. your spiel that you gave at the beginning of this podcast, it was like, oh,
yeah.
Right? Tell us about her.
Yeah, okay, so one student who particularly was new, like a new leader this semester. So this is the first time that they're really taking on leadership in the movement on campus. They've never stood at the table before. They've never done any of that. But before we had started, but the week before school, she was kind of saying, okay, well, I actually have already committed to something for the first week of classes. Like I'm like a frosh facilitator, mm-hmm. like, welcoming all the people in. So mm-hmm. actually that's a lot of time of your first week of campus. Like that's like very exhausting, a lot of time, all the things. But we just said, okay, but just come to the 3-hour leader night and let's just like really like put all our eggs in one basket. Let's just like get you there. And in being there and seeing the vision, hearing the vision, being with the other leaders, all she could say was, I remember a year ago, just 1 year ago when I was in first year and I was here and somebody surveyed me and now I'm in the room. Now I'm here.
Wow.
I'm in the room. I'm the one actually going out and going to survey. I'm going to go do it. So amidst all of her crazy schedule, she was there probably more than anybody, actually. Wow. Like in the surveys, using all the free time that she actually could have been unpacking, actually could have been like, you know, resting from the things that she's doing all evening, but that she's there and that she's, you know, willing to, okay, she doesn't have much time, but not going to even waste time on the bus. I'm going to Uber to go do phone calls, to go get the follow-ups, like for meeting people at Starbucks. And like, that's,
What I hear there mm-hmm. in her example is just actually how expedited, how quickly that happened, you know, from somebody that was surveyed and wherever her faith was to now she's going to be the one mm-hmm. witnessing. I would say, and I'm making a big statement here, but I believe it, is that we actually can and are going to see a great revolution, a restoring, a coming back, a missionary age in the church. Meaning we're going to see the lost come back. You know, I mean, the news out there is that we're losing people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers are just very, very difficult to look at and to accept. I mean, just, you know, there's a great exodus. But I believe that in a very short amount of time, there could be a reversal of that. meaning we could the church can actually be fruitful, mm-hmm. and bringing those wandering souls back, and this is a moment. But it's not going to happen by documents and by great conferences. It's going to actually happen getting out and activating, doing the work, doing the step-by-step approach of, you know, just getting, you know, be there at a table, get someone to fill out a survey, follow them up with a phone call, and then meeting them on campus, talking to them about, you know, what we're offering, you know, praying with them, whatever they need at that moment, and then getting them into a small group, the discovery study, and then preaching Jesus to them in a clear and simple way, inviting them to conversion, and then out of that conversion, receiving the Holy Spirit, some formation, and then they become the one that actually surveys, mm-hmm. and it all starts all over again. That can happen, and you've testified to it. In 1 year, one person, and there are many right across mm-hmm. the country. So we're inviting you today, as you kind of gather in your teams, or you're watching this podcast, videocast, whatever we want to call it. I want you to know that we're inviting you into a great Catholic missionary revolution, bringing back those who have wandered, bringing them back into the church. The moment is now, as St. John Paul II said. And so we're inviting you to join us and taking that step and become an activator.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review us and subscribe, share us with your friends. Until next time, God bless.